there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Living the dream once again here on a huge Sports Saturday. This is Fox Sports Saturday, and we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com, we're going to help get you there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Muncie, we have a loaded couple of hours coming up today.
I know.
The NBA playoffs are officially underway. Right now, Minnesota just blowing out Phoenix, up 22 in the fourth quarter. 8 minutes to go there. Of course, we're getting ready for the Lakers in action tonight, taking on the Denver Nuggets. Mark Medina, our NBA insider, is going to be joining us coming up in our second hour. Coming up in the first hour, though, in about 12 minutes, we're going to break early out of this opening segment, get extended time with Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider, as we get ready for the big day on Thursday, the start of the NFL draft. So just a few things going on, Monsi.
Yeah, I am barely keeping up. In fact, I'm just about to tweet our picture because you look so good in this one, Steve.
Really?
So
yes.
I'm just going to make sure the masses see it.
It's that look.
There is so much going on, and I know NBA has lost fans recently based on just the lack of, you know, physical intensity and everything flopping in left and right. But I'm still a huge NBA fan, and like waking up and knowing that there was a game at 10 a.m., I was like ready to go all day. I'm excited. This is a good time.
It is a great time right now. We had the play-in games, and as it turned out, the 7 and 8 seeds on both sides ended up getting into the postseason. One of the controversies was what would the Lakers do in their 7-8 matchup against the Pelicans? By the way, you know, the Pelicans did prevail in surviving that game against the Kings last night. Think about this play-in round. With one game to go in the regular season, the Pelicans were in the playoffs as the sixth seed. They lose to the Lakers, drops them into the play-in round, lose to the Lakers again. They would have gone from safely in the playoffs to completely out of the playoffs in three games had they lost to Sacramento.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't sit well with me.
I kind of like it. I like the craziness that is surrounding the now play-in tournament. But you're right. You could be frustrated by it. I enjoy it. to be honest with you.
All right. Well, you're of the Rich Ornberger school of why can't we just have one game? You know,
yes.
Every game be a do or die game.
Yes.
I will say this. You know, when the NBA decided to extend every single round of the playoffs, 4 out of 7, I was just like, no. I mean, we are right now in the middle of April, and we are in a 2-month journey till the NBA finals. 2 months.
But, you know, I think it's different with basketball. I don't mind a 7-game series because the best team wins. And it might take 7 games, but typically the best team actually wins.
Yeah, but
when
that,
in other sports, it doesn't happen like that.
But wait a second. The idea of the NCAA basketball tournament, the one and
yeah,
done.
No, that's exciting.
Well, but upsets.
Yeah.
And you don't always. Now, this was an exception when a UConn team was so dominant, they ended up winning. But that's rare.
Yes.
So the idea that, well, in a best of 7 series, the best team wins. I remember, and this is, I always go back in history. Believe it or not, there was a time when the opening round of the NBA playoffs was 2 out of 3. And in Magic Johnson's second year, the year after they won the championship as a rookie, they had a best 2 out of 3 against the Houston Rockets, led by the great Moses Malone. The Lakers lose the first game at home. They go to Houston, win, come home, and lose. Just like that, out. Now, isn't that nice?
It is. Okay, so if the first round was best out of three, I wouldn't be against it. And I remember when it was still a thing.
Okay, why not do this? How about first round, best out of three,
okay.
Second round, best out of five, conference finals, and the finals, best out of 7?
You know, I'm not against it, really.
I mean, these opening series are, a lot of times, are complete mismatches.
Yes.
And
you make a point.
And then what happens is you may have one team that's, you know, sweeps through a series, and then on the other side of the bracket, that series goes to 7. Now, all of a sudden, you've had a 10-day layoff in the postseason. Something isn't right about that.
I don't like to give you credit when you're right, but you're right about that. You are right that the beginning round can be a little bit boring with certain matchups. You are 100% right. Maybe I support this all the way through. I wasn't on it at the beginning, but now I think I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm with you.
All right. Well, let's just think about this for a second here. If you have a short series, there's urgency from the get-go.
Correct.
Obviously, in a one-and-done situation, you have the ultimate urgency. But if it's 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, it's not like you say, I mean, let's take this game tonight between the Nuggets and the Lakers, right? Everyone was saying, wow, the Lakers should lose to New Orleans to avoid Denver. And I'm thinking, no. Lose and then maybe lose to Sacramento, a team, by the way, that had owned the Lakers this year. You win when you're supposed to win. I have no problem with that. In fact, if you're the Lakers, your ultimate goal anyway is to win a championship. It's not just to win a round of the playoffs. You got LeBron James, you got Anthony Davis. You have the Laker legacy behind you. So getting Denver early, I'd rather have Denver early than in the Western Conference Finals like we saw a year ago. In fact, I'm looking at tonight's game with the Lakers, and I'm saying to myself, this is your opportunity tonight. If the Lakers can win tonight and steal a game in Denver, this is going to be a series. If the Lakers lose tonight, the series is not going to go long. I promise you that. Denver will make quick work of them. But I think that there is an advantage for the Lakers. They played well the other day against the Pelicans, although they almost blew the game. And thank you, Zion, for ditching the end of that game, unfortunately.
That was rough.
But You know, Denver's been off for a few days. Maybe catch them a little flat. You know, they've been so dominant over the Lakers over the last couple of years. And, so I do think, though, if you had shorter series, and I'm not saying the conference finals or the finals, those should be best out of 7. But these earlier rounds, baseball does it.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier rounds, like the wild card round, 2 out of 3. Does the best team always win? No. You can have an upset.
Yeah. You make a really good point that if it was a short series, the first round, there would be some exciting upsets because the urgency is there. And you go down one game and all of a sudden you're panicking. You may not execute the way you think you're going to execute. The Lakers conversation of them losing on purpose to avoid the Denver Nuggets was the dumbest thing I was hearing all week. Why would you want to do that? In fact, if, like you said, if I am a Laker fan, I want to face them first. And if we beat them, you're going to be on a high. You're going to be like, we can take anyone down. I am with you. Why would you want to face them later when you're more tired, maybe, from the playoffs themselves, right? So I 100% agree with you on that. I don't think the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets.
No one thinks they're going to beat the Nuggets. There's no reason to pick the Lakers against the Nuggets. Yeah. And even more amplifying the point is the fact that if you look at the four losses they had in the playoffs last year, all four losses, the Lakers have been in a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. But at the end of these games, Denver has taken over every single time.
Yes. Everyone keeps mentioning that they're a lot closer. But in reality, it's just that Denver turns it on at the end when they want to. And I just don't think Denver is going to come into this thinking it's going to be easy. I don't think they're like that. They're champions for a reason, because they know how hard it is to win, and they've done it multiple times. So I think they're going to come in and want to prove a point that actually, no, it hasn't been that close. We've just let it be close up until we wanted to win.
So Cleveland took care of Orlando, no contest in that opening
game.
That
was a fun game.
Orlando is not good.
They're not, but they were trying. They were, you know, like
trying.
There's
too many teams in the playoffs, Monty. You can't have 10 teams.
They were ready to throw it down in game one. What are you talking about? That was so exciting. Yeah, I was like, they're ready to throw it down.
I mean, and Minnesota is blowing out Phoenix by 20 right now.
Yeah, no, this
right,
one I was
so we got
expecting.
The Knicks and the Sixers, and then, of course, the Lakers and Denver coming up.
Yep.
So the NBA playoffs are underway, but I can't even see the finish line. It's so far away. I mean, it's way, way out there. Hey, by the way, quick reminder, be sure to catch Fox Sports Radio's Draft Night live throughout the first round of the draft this Thursday, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern, presented by Express Pros, the official employment agency of Fox Sports Radio Draft's coverage. Insider Jay Glazer, former Cardinals GM Steve Keim, College Football Hall of Famer LeVar Arrington, and Big Noon Kickoff's Rob Stone will have pick-by-pick predictions and reactions to every first-round pick. That's Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, throughout the entire first round of the draft, live right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart app, presented by Express Pros. Coming up on the other side, we're going to get a little peek at what's going to happen on Thursday. Extended time with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Steve Hartman, Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. All right, Thursday is the day.
It is? Are we actually there?
We are finally there. We have talked about it, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Joining us right now to break down all 257 picks of this year's NFL draft, our NFL insider here at Fox Sports Radio, Adam Kaplan. All right, not all 257, Adam, but...
Do I get a raise?
Yes.
You know, I am due for a raise, by the way.
Aren't we all?
I'll pass it along. By the way, at the top, I just saw the note here, and I am very sad to hear about the passing of one of my childhood heroes, who I had the good fortune of meeting on a couple of occasions, the great Roman Gabriel.
Oh, man.
Who passed away at the age of 83. He was the National Football League's most valuable player in 1969. Had some great years with the Eagles as well. College Football Hall of Famer at NC State. Just a wonderful man. And he had passed away, I just heard, an hour or so ago at age 83. I never understood why he never got a serious look at the... Hall of Fame. I mean, he was a league MVP. I know he didn't win a championship, but, you know, for his time, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I remember. In fact, I met his son, Roman Jr., who's a tall guy who does media stuff. So, yeah, wow. So he was number five for the Eagles when they wore the sanitary uniforms. Then he got traded, I believe, to the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, in fact, that's when after Gabriel left, Ron Jaworski replaced him here from the Rams to the Eagles. Charles traded straight up for Charlie Young, believe it or not. And I met Charlie at the Super Bowl this year. But, yeah, Roman, I remember, definitely in the 70s, yes. For those of us who are a little bit over 40 years old, I do remember him.
Yes, well, for us old-timers, we remember too much. All right, let's
– right.
All right, Monty and I were thinking the exact same thing coming into the show. It has been eerily quiet the last couple of weeks, as opposed to what we heard, all the noise a year ago, which turned out to be noise. There wasn't as much activity in terms of trades and everything that it was hyped up to be. Now, all of a sudden, I get the sense that, is this the calm before the storm? The fact that we haven't just been inundated? I mean, we hear a lot about J.J. McCarthy and everything else, but... it hasn't been as feverish with all the ups and downs in terms of projections that we heard a year ago. Should we take the quiet nature leading up to this year's draft as maybe a precursor that it could be a little noisier than we expected?
Well, I'll give you an example. So I was talking to a team today in the NFC who is working on, potentially, again, it just depends on how their board goes, because all teams have talked with each other now. They already have trade scenarios done. They're looking potentially if their player drops, let's say, to the back of the first round, which could happen. They're looking at a trade scenario of trading up out of the second, from the second round to the first. And that's the kind of stuff that's going on now. To answer your question, that's what happens. And that's why typically, because one thing, here's a nugget for you. Yes, there are 32 picks made in every draft in the first round, but there are only truly 16, 18 first-round grades. Yes, you have to make a pick if you're at 22 unless you trade out. But there are only true first-round grades somewhere between 16 and 18. This year I'm hearing about 18. Now, that's why teams are more apt to trade down, not up, in the 20s year after year. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know there's generally more talk about teams trading from the second to the getting from early second to back of the first. And then a lot of teams want to trade down because, again, the value's just not there in the 20s.
Mm. Are you still sticking with the Giants taking Malik Nabers, or do you think the Giants may get a quarterback?
Well, I had a friend who's an offensive coach ask me that exact question today. I said, look, I got in my mock at ProFootballNetwork.com last week, and I have another one. My final one drops this Monday. It's going to either be Nabers or Odunze. Now, I'm not ruling out on your question a quarterback. See, I know for a fact that ownership loves Daniel Jones. Now, they won't, they don't tell GM Joe Shane what to do. He has control, but he has to run it through ownership. I would say that it's, I would pretty much put a super high percentage on it's a receiver or quarterback.
Okay.
I'd put it that way. I don't see an edge rusher. They have their left tackle. They're not drafting a right tackle there, though they missed on Evan Neal. I'm told that they're considering putting him to guard just to salvage the pick. It's too early for a cornerback. There's nothing of value other than for them, for what they need. The need's always about the future. It's not just the current year. It's more about the future. It's either a quarterback, and by the way, they could get out of Daniel Jones' contract in March of 2015, if they cut him before about $25 million, that becomes guaranteed.
All right, so Adam, looking at the top of the draft, when are we going to hear the commissioner announce we have a trade? When is it going to happen, or is it going to happen at the top of the draft?
No, but I'm going to give you three teams. New England's obvious because they put it out there that they're willing to move out. I think that's which by the way, tells you that they may like Drake May, but they're not. Maybe they believe they could get him lower. Mm. Minnesota is a team that you have to keep an eye on, trading into the top seven or eight to get their quarterback. I don't want to say I've bashed J.J. McCarthy. I've told people that so many teams have less than a first round grade on him. We get he's going to go up in the upper half of the first round because it's a quarterback driven league. Minnesota, Las Vegas, Denver, those are the teams to keep an eye on. The problem with Denver is they just don't have enough draft picks. It's going to be very difficult, where they'd have to probably give up maybe some key players if they want to get a quarterback. Minnesota's got to do it. They're not going into the season with Sam Darnold as a quarterback. That's not happening.
What about the Jets, Adam? I know they have Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, Zach Wilson not going to voluntary workouts. Could the Jets make a move to get another quarterback?
My people tell me around the league that they don't think there's a quarterback here. They just don't. Not in the first round, by the way. No, could it be second round later? Yes.
Okay.
First, the reason is simple. They believe that there's a very realistic chance that Aaron Rodgers will return for 2025. So obviously they're not taking a quarterback because they can't have the guy sit.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Douglas, the general manager, the prevailing thought is he's got to get it right. Like, he's got a lot right there, but he's missed badly at left tackle and at quarterback. He's gotten right just about everywhere else. In fact, 2 years ago was probably one of the best drafts in the history of the club. But he's missed at quarterback. And he's missed at tackle. He's missed it on two tackles. So he's got to get it right. And I feel strongly that they'll look at a receiver. They'll look at a left tackle there. If they don't trade out, by the way. If they don't trade out there at number 10.
Chargers at 5. I know I harp on the Chargers a lot. It's personal. It's just a personal situation.
We're aware. It's nothing new.
Very personal as far
as the
Chargers.
Even though they're not in San Diego anywhere, but go ahead.
But, I mean, it's personal. Okay, so you have a new GM, and you have a new coach. Not just any coach. You have Jim Harbaugh.
That's right.
This team was 5-12 last year. And Keenan Allen had a legit Pro Bowl season, made the Pro Bowl, and earned a Pro Bowl spot. If you take a receiver at number 5, whether it's Neighbors or Harrison, all you're doing is replacing a guy that was there a year ago. I don't know how much better they would be, or would they be better than he was a year ago on a team that was 5-12. I mean, I can't help but think if the Chargers are serious about getting this thing in the right direction, they need to trade down. They need bodies.
I agree. They don't need a quarterback.
They have no linebacker.
Yeah,
they don't They don't have any receivers.
I agree with
you. They don't have a wide receiver. They don't have a tight end. They don't have a receiving running back. They literally have a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert with no one to throw it to. They need bodies. That's why I keep saying that if there was a team at the top of this draft that needs to trade down and pick up extra picks. You remember my Herbert trade idea that was shot down because it wasn't legit because of all the salary cap ramifications.
Yep, that's the first thing. Yeah.
But the problem, again, is they need bodies.
I don't disagree. That would be my other consideration.
Just taking a wide receiver or even an edge guy is not going to do anything to change the fact they were 5-12 last
year. Steve, the draft is not about this year. You have to remember. It's not about 1 year. It's about the future.
Right.
Now, I agree. You make a fair point. If they trade down, it helps their future because they're getting you want as many picks in the first few rounds. Like the Washington has 9 picks in the top 100.
Yes.
That's a team I expect to trade some of those picks to move up to get a more of a prime or blue chip player. Whereas with the Chargers, they don't need an edge rusher for this year, but they sure as heck need it for the future because they're older there. That they have to look at that position. But you're right. Yeah, if that's a team, again, they're going to take a receiver there at 5 if they don't trade it. I agree with your assertion. It would be smart of them to trade down. And remember, they're not married to this roster because they inherited it, and they have free reign to do what they want.
Stop talking about my Chargers, Steve.
I'm trying to make them relevant.
New colors, by the way. I don't know if you've seen their new. They've changed their uniform. They're changing a lot. It's kind of cool.
Can we talk about the Lions colors?
I love them.
Carolina Panthers. They look like the Panthers.
I know, but I don't like the thing. I don't like is right. They do look the same. Why do they have to put the city on there? It's not necessary.
No,
we know by the logo what it is, folks. We don't need it on there.
Fair. Well, I actually, Adam, I wanted to know if, one, do you have a tattoo or did you get one like Jim did? Now he has Michigan.
I saw that. A Michigan,
so
right?
Yes, he has M.
Why?
And then I guess he said if they won the championship, he would get a tattoo.
I didn't know that.
Didn't Rick Pitino do that when Louisville won the championship and then they lost the championship?
That's fine. He's a different guy. Yeah. He's very, very unique. I'll leave it at that. He's obviously a great coach. I hope he could last there because he tends to drive people crazy, but he's a phenomenal football coach.
All right. So you didn't answer my original question.
Which is what?
Okay, because I'm looking at your mock drafts. I don't see trades here.
I don't do trades, but what you're going to see something Monday, which I do in every final mock draft. There's a section that says other considerations, colon,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I say a possible trade and so forth. The Chargers will definitely be there for a consideration. I think it's a better chance that they pick.
Would you trade if you were Arizona at 4?
No. I'd take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I would too.
I'm not passing on a Hall of Fame player. I'm just not doing that.
I'm still on the Kyler Murray bandwagon.
Jonathan Gannon really likes him. See, Kyler Murray, look, he's not for everybody. He's a shorter quarterback at 5'10", but he's a playmaker. He's kind of today's quarterback. And boy, did he do well late in the season coming back from his torn ACL. That's the least of the rarities. They got to rebuild their offensive line. That team is, look, they have a very, them and the Panthers have the NFL's worst rosters. It's not really debatable. It's a fact. I get it. By trading down, they could get a lot of draft picks. And you know what? I don't disagree in that case, but one thing that I've learned, and this is what Bill Polian told me, the former Hall of Fame general, well, he's a former, we know, personnel guy, but he's Hall of Fame general manager. You never pass up on a Hall of Fame player, and I've never forgotten about that. Marvin Harrison Jr., like his dad, has a chance to make the Hall of Fame.
All right, I'm going to sneak in one more quick one here.
Go.
I was telling Monty I was done. I got to see. Is there any doubt in your mind that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May will be the first three quarterbacks taken in some order?
No, I would say I have no doubt. I'm not saying May's going 3.
Right.
But I do believe he'll be the third quarter. I can't believe if McCarthy. I know Drake May's got some warts. I'll acknowledge that from the people I've spoken with. But no offense, J.J. McCarthy's not in Drake May's class. But again, as I told Bill Polian back in 2017, I'm just telling you what I've heard. That Mitch Trubisky's going to the top 10, and Bill kind of blew up on me. But he wasn't saying that I was wrong. He said it would just be a mistake because he didn't start enough and he should have gone way later. Bill was right, and I was right. J.J. McCarthy has no business going in the top 10, but he probably will.
All right. Well, Adam, we're going to see how this all plays out, and then next week we get to talk about it.
Look forward to that.
Of course, we'll be in day 3 of the draft next Saturday. But, Adam, as always, everything leading up to this draft, not possible without your insight. We'll see how accurate your predictions are. And if they're not great, I won't hold you to it. I'm not going to, you know.
No one will remember.
No one will remember, and I won't bring it up. Adam, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thank
That's Adam Kaplan, our Fox Sports Radio NFL insider. Who knows? I mean, we sit there every single year in the draft, and, you know, sometimes at the top, things sort of end order, and it takes one pick.
Yeah.
One pick, like, where did that come from?
Effect.
And it's the domino effect. And then all of a sudden there might be a run on a position, like wide receiver or edge or one of these positions that maybe you didn't think would have a run earlier in the draft. But that's what happens.
No, something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. I just don't know when or what because it's been too quiet.
You said that and I'm looking at you. I'm like, I was thinking it's the exact same thing.
You know, people are convoluting in their inside.
Remember,
you know?
Last year we had Will Levis, which just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And what happened to that girl he showed up with at the draft that was posing for the cameras the entire time?
She broke up. Last I heard, she broke up with him after that. Mm-hmm. And then people came after her when he had that great game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's last I heard. I don't know if they've reconciled. I don't think they have.
I think after that four touchdown passing game, he's like, I can do better.
Yes. So trust me, people went to tell her on her social media because I went to check. I was like, is this really happening? Oh, yeah. People are telling her his stats for the day. Uh-huh.
All right, let's find out what is trending right now. Kevin Wyatt's in the house. Kevin, how are you, man?
Yeah, man. A big day of NBA basketball playoffs, so it's a great day to be in. Of course, a lot of Major League Baseball.
Man.
So, super happy to be in and watching all this great action right now. We got the 76ers and Knicks going on right now as Philadelphia out in front early, 17-7. Joel Embiid has outscored the entire New York Knicks team through the first half of the first quarter as he's got 9 points compared to just 7 for New York as, again, Philadelphia up by double digits, 6:55 to go in the first quarter. We've had a couple of other games go final already. Earlier today, the Cavaliers smothering the Magic, 97-83. Orlando shooting just 32% from the field and Cleveland getting outstanding performances all around. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points. Evan Mobley had 16 points, 11 rebounds as Cleveland takes a 1-0 lead in this best-of-7 first-round Eastern Conference playoff series. And the Timberwolves demolished the Suns 120-95 as Karl Anthony Towns, 19 points, 7 rebounds, but Anthony Edwards had a really strong second half. It was quiet for the first couple of quarters, but really came alive in the second 24 minutes. 33 points he finished the game with, 9 rebounds, and Rudy Gobert a double-double, 14 points, 16 rebounds, as Minnesota now up in that series, 1-0. And coming up, 8:30 Eastern time, Lakers and Nuggets as Los Angeles trying to get their first win against Denver in 490 days. So the Lakers got a lot of work cut out for them as they prepare to face Denver later tonight. And we did get an update from Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, color me shocked, but Woj says that there is increasing doubt against the Mavericks. You know, what else is new, though, when it comes to Kawhi Leonard and the postseason for the Clippers? So not a good omen right there for Clipper fans.
We already had Bo Benson announce that Kawhi, according to his sources, is out. For the year.
Yeah, as Kevin just mentioned, what's new here? What's new?
It's
the Clippers, and you know what? That's fine. Still, without Kawhi, I think we have a chance.
Do you agree with that, Kevin?
They have a chance, yeah, but it depends on how well Luka and Kyrie Irving play, because I think that can overcome whatever the Clippers have, minus Kawhi Leonard.
We just have a deeper bench than a lot of teams.
Yeah.
You know, that is why I'm holding on to that we have a chance.
I'm still waiting for James Harden to cause an implosion like he has everywhere else,
Let's not, listen, we already lost Kawhi. Let's not ask for anything else here, Kevin. Let's just hope everyone stays fine and dandy and he can create an, you know, explosion at the parade.
Yeah. When,
if they ever have a parade, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Where is that parade going to be?
For Western Conference Finals appearances over there in Clipperland.
I'm anxious to see that new arena that they're going to open up next season because I hear it is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, let's go.
I mean, you have a man worth $100 billion owning your team. He could, again, buy the entire league and make it the National Bomber Association quite easily.
That's so good.
I think it's cute the Clippers think they can recreate the Showtime the Lakers had in Inglewood.
Listen,
so.
Kevin, don't play with me right now. We're about to go on a break. I'm going to walk over to you.
Okay, just hang on a second. Just hold off on this. Hey, thanks so much, Kevin. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. Once again, this is Fox Sports Saturday. Steve Harvey. Monty Bolaños here. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. I want to just follow up on the Chargers for a second here. We're talking about the draft. So this general manager of the Chargers, H-O-R-T-I-Z, Ortiz?
I'm going to guess Ortiz.
Ortiz.
I'm going to guess.
So this guy was part of the Ravens player personnel for 26 years.
Wow.
Jim Harbaugh, one of the reasons that he left the 49ers to go to the University of Michigan was the fact that he was frustrated that he didn't have more say in personnel. You know, it felt like he had earned it in his four-year run as head coach. So this Ortiz has made it clear, I'm the one who picks the player, not Jim Harbaugh. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right.
Before
your very first draft together.
Why would you say that?
I have no idea.
Why would you admit that?
I mean, he says it's a collaborative effort, but I'm the one that's going to make the pick.
Yeah, I'm
interested in Jim's input, but the pick's on me.
That doesn't seem like a good way to start a relationship.
Well, it's not going to be a good start if you don't make the right decision.
Right.
The Chargers say they need an attractive offer to trade out of the fifth pick. They honestly believe that the Cardinals are trading out of four to a team that wants J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I read that, which seems ridiculous.
I don't know why they would do that.
It makes no sense.
Cardinals
Jr.
and the Chargers are in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
They have gaping holes.
Yes, we do.
But at the same time, they're both looking for wide receivers to help their quarterbacks. And you have two phenomenal talents right at the top of this draft. So I don't know. Chargers are trying to make the pitch that we have the first pick of the draft, meaning the real draft after all the quarterbacks are taken. So they're trying to, you know, set themselves up for a deal.
If the Cardinals do that, and for some reason the Chargers are able to get Marvin Harrison Jr.,
But they need more.
Of course we do. No.
Here's the problem for the Chargers, and this is a problem for a lot of teams, and we always seem to downplay the value of running backs. And maybe they don't have a lot of draft value, but you look at Austin Ekeler when he was healthy for a couple of years, who was undrafted. I mean, Tom Telesco got a lot of heat with the Chargers. There's a signing that worked out beautifully. And when he was healthy and effective as a receiver, he was a versatile back, he was a touchdown machine, that's when Justin Herbert was at his best. Quarterbacks need production out of their backs, especially as receivers. You take that element away, all of a sudden they become ordinary when they looked good before that.
Now, you make an excellent point. I just don't know if the Chargers are looking now that they have... I'm not saying that these guys are going to be the difference makers, but with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, maybe they're just not focusing on the running back, but you're 100%
well,
right.
Well, Dobbins coming off an injury.
Right.
I don't even know if he's going to make it on the team next year.
Yeah, but clearly they're not focusing on the running back at the moment. But you said it. You and Adam... There's so many holes that the Chargers have. There's so many.
They need. So this again, I think we're on to something with this quiet before the storm.
Yes.
It's just been way too quiet. 100%. Chargers claims they haven't had a single real offer. I don't believe that for a second.
So, obviously, it's something they don't like.
So last year, a lot of noise. This year, not so much. I have a sense there's going to be just a bevy of trades early on in this draft. All right, coming up on the other side, someone that has reached the pinnacle in their sport is finding out what it means to be at the top of the mountain. We'll explain who that is. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, you're playing my stuff now, Mary Mac. I like that. Yeah.
Stop aging yourself.
I asked Patrick, and I was like, 70s, right? Late 60s, 70s? Yeah.
Yeah. That disco era was working. I showed Monsi a picture of me back in, what was it, 77?
Yeah. You look the same in a good way.
You had an afro, right?
No, he just had long hair.
I always had straight hair, but it was longer hair.
He just had longer hair.
Okay, once again, this is Fox Sports Saturday. Steve Harbin, Monsi Bolaños. We're in the TireRack.com studios. So, Caitlin Clark, first pick in the WNBA draft, now a member of the Indiana Fever, and she had a press conference that, of course, anything she does is going to get national attention. And she was introduced to Greg Doyle, who is the lead columnist for the Indianapolis Star. Now, I interviewed Greg on several occasions, going back to his CBSSports.com days. He reminds me a lot of my dear friend T.J. Simers, who was a longtime columnist, most recently with the Los Angeles Times. T.J. was an agitator. He was one of those guys, columnists, that would look to provoke people. So he was an agitator. I saw him in action many times. I'm an agitator, so I know how this works. So that's who Greg Doyle is. And he thought he was being cute by putting up the little love sign,
heart sign there.
And it was obvious that Caitlin Clark really didn't know how to react, other than the fact she acknowledged the fact that she does that to her family the end of every game. And so afterwards, when Doyle got a lot of heat, he sort of brought it back, but not really, because he said, look, my attitude toward her is the same attitude I've had about all athletes. I've gone on the attack, but I forgot she's a female. And I'm like, okay, Greg, now you're really, I mean, I know how a guy like this operates. He's really trying to get himself in the news, which obviously is done. But let me ask you this, because I do think it is a fair question in terms of high profile athletes, men and women, and women obviously want their fair share. What she did at Iowa is on the record books. Mm-hmm. More people watched that championship game against South Carolina than any basketball game in 5 years. NBA, men's, college, any basketball game. More people watch that game than any basketball game in the last 5 years. So from a female athlete's perspective, should they be treated, in your opinion, exactly the same as their male counterparts?
I feel like that is a loaded question. In the general sense, when I say I want to be treated equally like a man, it's really just the respect. But we're not the same. So it's not, I'm going to say, like, yes, in the general sense of respect, you have to treat her the way you have treated other male athletes in the past. But is it a little bit different? Maybe so. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What he did was just plain stupid and ridiculous. And then he doubled down on his stupidness with his article that he wrote about it. Obviously, this was for attention, and it just was so dumb. Like, I really don't know if he expected that to go well, and then it backfired, and he was like, well, at least I'm still getting attention, or if he thought from the beginning that that was a smart thing to do. It was so stupid. You should have just said that you were jokingly trying to shoot your shot, because your apology was just dumb. nothing. I didn't even read it. I didn't even want to read it, but I heard about it. I heard what he said. And it just is stupid.
Here's my question. I remember our national women's soccer team. Can't remember which Olympics it was, but they were upset in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to an inferior team. They played a bad match and they lost. And normally, if it had been the men's team where you're a heavy favorite and you lose, we crush them.
Mm-hmm.
You choke, you chokers. But when criticism was leveled at the women's team for not delivering what everyone thought was going to happen, people are like, oh, no. No, you can't do that. And I remember thinking, well, why not? I mean, if they're expected to win, they're favored to win, and they lose, they can't be criticized? I think this is where a lot of people are a little bit at the crossroads in terms of a sensitivity, in terms of equal coverage, equal criticism, equal praise. I mean, certainly Caitlin Clark has gotten nothing but praise. Some people in her own circle feel like it's been too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women of the WNBA and some of the great collegiate stars of the past. But this is the problem. When you get to the top, she is going to get a lot of people rooting against her.
Well, that's natural. I think she's going to expect that. And I think that she should be not criticized, but criticized if she does have a bad game. I think you should be able to tell her you choked, or any female athlete or team, if that does happen. I think that's fair game. I don't see why not. But obviously, this is just something that has been going on for years, and the change is going to take a little longer. It's not going to happen overnight. But I think 100% female athletes should be held to the same standard. And if you messed up and you choked, you should be called out on it.
By the way, as far as WNBA players being paid more, if she can raise the level of interest in this league, mm-hmm. not only will she get paid more,
everybody else, the
women will get paid more.
Yeah.
That was the phenomenon that was Tiger Woods
exactly.
in golf. All right, we got much more coming up with the NBA draft and, excuse me, the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs. This is Fox Sports Saturday. Rolling along on another busy Sports Saturday, Fox Sports Saturday. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. We're going to help get you there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Coming up later in the hour, Mark Medina, our NBA insider, will join us as the NBA playoffs are underway. And right now, the Knicks at home are down 9. To the Sixers.
Yeah, I wonder how Jason Smith is doing.
Well, one thing about Philadelphia, obviously without Embiid for much of the year, and when he's back on the court, obviously a much different team. He already has 15 points in this game. And so this is one of those, you know, because people are like, well, who in the East is good enough to knock off the Celtics? And my immediate response is 4 out of 7, nobody.
You know what? I don't even trust the Celtics that much, actually, if I'm being completely honest. But the 76ers, if I'm a fan, I am holding my breath, because do you think Joel Embiid is 100%? No.
Well, he looks 100% right now. I mean, he's dominating this game early on.
I would be holding my breath just because I don't think he's 100%. Obviously, he's better than bad. I'm not saying he's like at 50%, but I don't think he's at 100. So I would be just nervous that something aggravates in the middle of a game or something.
Well, with Randall going out for the Knicks,
right.
Now all of a sudden Brunson is the guy.
Yes.
And I don't know if anyone really thought Jalen Brunson was going to be this level of player that he has been this year, certainly an MVP candidate. But early on in this game, you're already getting a sense that he feels like, I got to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Two for eight shooting to start the game, missed a couple of threes, and his plus minus is minus 9. So I don't look at Brunson as that guy. I mean, I think he has proven to be a legitimate all-star talent, but as a guy that can carry a team in a best of 7 series, Maybe he proves me wrong, but I don't see Brunson as that level of player. I'll put it this way. He's not Jimmy Butler. I just wanted to throw that out to you.
I love Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler.
You know I love Jimmy. Yes. Poor Jimmy. You know what? Jalen Brunson thinks he is that guy, and I think he can be. Half the battle is believing that you can be that guy, and I think he thinks he is that guy. So I think he is maybe a little bit nervous, especially after when the Sixers won and it was official that they were going to take on the Knicks. On social media, everybody was like, oh, this is not what the Knicks wanted. The Knicks did not want to face Philly. And so maybe there's a little bit of nerves, a little bit of pressure because of what was being said on social media. But I think Jalen Brunson believes he's the guy, and that is half the battle. And I think he can be the guy.
I just wish the NBA had less teams in the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to over-harp this, but...
So how many?
Well,
in a perfect Hartman situation...
All right, you have 30 teams.
30 teams.
12.
6-6?
6-6.
Still two conferences or the best 12?
No, I'd still the two conferences. Because if you look at the East, obviously the bottom two, the Bulls and the Hawks, losing records.
Yeah. Yep,
and then
yep.
If you look at the West, I mean, you know, New Orleans was a 49-win team and they were a 7 seed. So in my format, they would not have made the playoffs.
Yeah.
This idea, see, the idea that you're keeping more teams in the mix by extending or creating the play-in round, if you know that you're battling, think about, for instance, the Western Conference. Think about how crazy it would have been if you had eliminated the play-in round and everyone's battling for that sixth slot.
Yeah.
So you would have had New Orleans, you would have had the Lakers, you would have had Phoenix, all these teams, Golden State, Sacramento, they were all bunched within like a couple of wins. So there was no like days off, like you're in a sense of urgency. But to me, when you have half or more than half of your teams... And in the NBA's case, if you want to include the play-on round, 20 out of 30, it just, to me, it takes away, to me, from the regular season. Here's what I don't understand. Major League Baseball, for the longest time, and I know this was ancient history, but for the longest time, they had two leagues, two champions.
Mm-hmm.
There was no league championship series, the wild card. You just, and sometimes a team would win the pennant by 10 games. Sometimes it would come down to the final day of the season to determine who's going to make a right to the World Series. So the idea of keeping more teams in the mix late in the year to be what? A 10 seed? A 9 seed? What does that even mean?
It's a flawed system. This was done so that teams... would not tank as early as they were tanking. That was the goal of this. There have been some fun play-in games, but I would not be opposed to less teams going into the playoffs for basketball. I would not be opposed to that.
All right. The idea of tanking. This is not an original idea. I heard this before. So let's just use the NBA as an example. In terms of the draft order. So the idea that the worst record gets the first pick and so on.
Right.
Why don't you do this? This was suggested by someone else, but I thought it was sort of an interesting idea.
Okay.
So when a team is mathematically eliminated, whosever team has the highest winning percentage after being mathematically eliminated gets the best pick in the draft. So let's say you were eliminated with 10 games to go, and you go 8-2 the rest of the way. You win 8, lose 2. You get the first pick in the draft. So the incentive on winning comes after you've been mathematically eliminated.
That's actually kind of brilliant. That's actually a really good idea to keep.
So it does the exact reverse of what we see year after year after year. Once teams are eliminated, they just, you know, lose out.
Huh.
So you would put an incentive on them winning games after being mathematically eliminated.
That makes too much sense. Why? Have you told the NBA this? Have you sent a memo, a tweet?
I think I first heard this idea a number of years ago, but it does make some sense, because if you're only adding to how many teams are in the postseason based on tanking, well, one way to eliminate tanking is the idea that the worst record overall just ends up with the first pick in the draft. Now, I know we have the draft lottery, but that doesn't usually change a whole lot.
No, yeah.
In terms, and I'm very suspicious of the draft lottery anyway.
So many people
how
are.
Certain teams magically, like San Antonio, magically gets Wemby. Yeah, wink, wink. Go back to the very first lottery when the Knicks ended up with Patrick Ewing, and the word was is that the commissioner, David Stern, they froze one of the cards.
Like so
the
that Knicks he could
card,
feel it?
He could feel the one. It wasn't bent or anything, but it was colder.
Oh.
You know? And magically, the New York Knicks, the number one market, ends up getting Patrick Ewing in that draft. But, I mean, that would eliminate all this.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Forget a lottery where you're picking out. I'm suspicious of any lottery. Eliminate that. Whichever team has the highest win. And now you say, well, what happens if you're mathematically eliminated with one game to go? And you go and you win that game. You're 1-0. You'd have to tinker with this a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit. Like, make it. There is something here. There is right. something here that makes perfect sense as to you're eliminated, but you want to keep fighting because it does matter in the end.
Right. I just, again, if you had taken a look at the Western Conference this year and you suddenly only had six spots in play and you had Dallas and he had New Orleans, and he had Phoenix, he had the Lakers, he had Sacramento, he had Golden State. Battling for one or two spots.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty dynamic. And guess what? If you're not in the top six in your conference, the lowest seed ever to win the NBA championship, by the way, was a six seed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Houston Rockets on the back of the back-to-back, and that was long ago in the mid-90s. So if you can't place in the top six in your conference, should you really be given an opportunity to play in the postseason?
I mean, listen, the Miami Heat went to the finals, the conference finals. They did it, and they were an eight seed.
Yeah, but you said it gives a Jimmy Butler.
Yes, I did. Yes, exactly why I'm bringing it up. Okay, Jimmy, he is him. Okay, so don't. But they were a great example. What were the Mavs? When the Mavs won, what seed were they? Do you remember?
Well, they weren't a six seed. I'd have to look it up. But, I mean, the lowest seed ever to win in the modern seeding of the NBA was the Rockets, who were a six seed in 95, I believe. So that was the lowest seed. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're not top six in your conference, call it a day and we'll see you next year. And that's why we have these playing games, and now we're having the first-round matchups that most likely are not going to produce any real upsets. I mean, 5-4 is legit in my book. A 6-3, but 2-7, 1-8. Yikes.
This would work even better if it was just six teams going to the playoffs and then the final ones battle it out so that they do get a higher lottery pick.
Yeah, and by the way, you say, well, how do you do the six teams? It's very simple. The top two seeds get a bye.
Yeah.
Less is more. Less is more.
With that statement, less is more, do you think the season should be shortened? You think it's too long?
No.
Especially with the injuries that we're kind of like seeing right now?
If you shorten the seasons, you're going to wipe out the record books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
I mean, this is, you know, unfortunately for these leagues, they set the bar in terms of length of the seasons too far. The one thing I would do with if I were the NBA, though, and I've said this before, I haven't heard anybody else say this. Their season goes October to June.
Oh, yeah. Move the season. Uh-huh.
November to August.
Yeah, 1,000%.
If they were playing the NBA Finals in the dog days of August, mm-hmm. where still nothing matters in baseball because we haven't gotten to September. By the way, the NFL season starts in September. So you literally would have no head-to-head barely against the NFL because your season starts on Christmas Day. How about that?
Yeah.
And then you get past the NFL and the playoffs, and then you get the meteor scheduled during the dog days of the baseball season.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't done that, because that's been obvious for years that it's like you have the opportunity to take over a month where nothing is going on, where you can have all eyes on you. Instead, you want to fight and battle it out with a sport that is way more attractive to people.
It just makes all that sense.
Yeah, that makes too much sense. Again, did you write a memo to the NBA yet?
They've been
Steve
listening.
Harmon?
They've been listening, and it's because it's coming from me. They refuse to say that we're going to do that because they never want Hartman to be right. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to get back to one of the NBA teams and the idea of a certain player holding up an entire franchise. Not new, but it's happening right now in the NBA. Is it time to turn the page? In fact, there's a couple of teams this may apply to. We'll tell you which ones. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Steve Hartman and Monty Bolaños here, Fox Sports Saturday. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. Now, don't forget, right after the show, our podcast is going up. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts, and then follow, rate, and review the podcast. Again, just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll see the show posted right after we get off the air. NBA playoffs are off and running. By the way, the Knicks have now taken the lead over the Sixers. So a run for the Knicks right now, 45-41, 4.5 minutes to go the first half in that game. What should we expect in this year's NBA playoffs? The man to break it down every single game of every single round. No, we're not going to do that. Is our NBA insider, Mark Medina, is joining us right now. First of all, Mark, thanks for joining us. Let's talk a little about this Philadelphia 76ers team we're watching right now with Embiid back in the lineup. Monty says she doesn't trust that he's going to be able to survive on the court. What is the buzz on Embiid and his comeback, and how confident should Sixers fans be that he's good for the duration of the season?
Well, Steve, it's a fair question, and it's always fluid, but for what it's worth, I did talk to Joel Embiid's trainer, Drew Hanlon, earlier this week and asked him about his health. And while he did concede the fact that, especially at this point in the season, no one is 100% healthy. He was very confident with not only Joel Embiid's play, but his movement. And he had a prediction that he will be, fully available through the rest of the playoffs, however long or short that is.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. I just was saying that if I was a Sixers fan, I would be a little bit nervous. Now, I am a Clippers fan, so I'm nervous. Mark, tell me, is Kawhi's knee just gone? Does he have no meniscus? Just be honest with me.
Monsa, do you want me to lie to you or be honest?
No, I want you to be honest with me because the truth hurts, but I need to hear it.
Okay, well, here's the truth you asked for, Monse. Ty Lue doesn't know if he's even going to play in Game 1 tomorrow. It's been up in the air. He hasn't even had a full practice. I think that those are gigantic red flags. While it's not like the ACL injury in 2021, I don't even think it's like the meniscus injury in his right knee last season. The reality is he went from a sore right knee to having inflammation. He's been able to do some practice work this week, but it's only been shooting. He hasn't done any full court 5-on-5, hasn't done any contact work, and the schedule condenses once the playoffs start. So I think it is a gigantic concern that not that we're having a potentially season-ending injury with Kawhi that will need surgery, but at least an injury that's not going to keep him available for most, if not all, of the first-round series against Dallas.
Well, this brings up the fact that Steve Ballmer, who has enough money to buy every team in this league twice over, actually maybe three times over, could be the National Bomber Association if he wanted, is basically, Mark, he's all in with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, everything from day one has been around Kawhi Leonard. Now, I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard's extended contract, all guaranteed money through the 26-27 season. And now they're facing a player option on Paul George, and obviously James Harden is a walkaway free agent after the year. Would you feel comfortable if you were Steve Ballmer projecting over the next 2 to 3 years? Do you have faith that you can still build around Kawhi Leonard?
It's a fair question. I can't speak for Steve Ballmer, but knowing how the Clippers have operated, I think that they've made the decision that even within Kawhi's injury history, and especially coming at most inopportune times during the playoffs, that they feel pragmatically this is the best option. And when you look at the fact that they're going to go into Intuit Dome next season, they want to have a reason for fans to want to go to games and buy tickets. But I think the key thing here is they did extend Kawhi Leonard, and I think that they wanted to show a faith in him. They also know that this can be a domino effect. They haven't had any momentum with Paul George or James Harden yet, I think because they want to see how the playoffs go. But extensions and contracts in today's NBA doesn't mean a single thing for both management and for players. For management, they can trade those contracts at any point in time. For players, even if they're under contract, they can go to an organization if they're a star player and say, I want out of this contract, trade me. So while it is concerning, okay, he's on the books with this extension, if things go really, really south, they can wiggle themselves out of this mess. But I think at this point in time, when you're looking at his tenure since 2019, they've decided he's worth the price because when healthy, he's been really dominant, and they've been bullish that the further he's removed from his ACL injury in 2021, that they'll finally get a healthy version of Kawhi. They got him for the most part this season, but again, since March 31st, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Mark, why do you think OKC is not being taken seriously? They're first in the Western Conference. Do you think it's just age, inexperience? Why are they not being taken seriously?
Yeah, I think it's two things, Monse. I think it's because they're in a small market, number one. Number two, they are young, and there's this kind of let's cross our shoulders, or you know, yeah, whatever that phrase is, wait-and-see approach. Sure. Okay, you're young. Let's see you do this in the playoffs. But I think that even though they are young, they do have a lot of maturity with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Dort, Mark Dejonal is the head coach of the year for a reason. And even though Chet Holmgren is only a rookie, the fact that he was technically a rookie last season with missing the entire year, but being able to spend that year with watching film, being around NBA personnel, they are a young team, but for their age, they're very mature. So I think if they are going to fall short in the playoffs, I think it's because of just tactics and not feeling overwhelmed, but this is a crowded Western Conference, and I think that even though the Denver Nuggets technically have the second seed, they're more favored because they have most of their championship core back this time around.
I had a good laugh when people were talking about the Lakers should lose their play-in matchup with the Pelicans to try to avoid the Nuggets. And I'm thinking to myself, these are still the Lakers, right? I mean, we're not talking about the Lakers where, hey, we want to win a playoff series. They're still held to that standard, I would hope, of winning championships. So you're going to have to get through Denver at some point anyway. I'd rather get them early than late. And maybe they can, you know, pull a surprise here and steal a game in Denver to start this series. But if the Lakers are to win this series against the Denver Nuggets, a team that has dominated them over the last couple of years, and a Nuggets team that obviously gained a lot of confidence by winning that championship really easily a year ago. They dominated the postseason. What is going to have to happen from the Lakers' standpoint in order to win this series against Denver?
Yeah, well, Steve, first of all, I agree with you with the whole notion of trying to dodge a future opponent. I was talking to Robert Horry about that, and he was saying, look, like, if they had to play the Kings in that second playing game, they struggled against them too. And I pointed out to Robert, yeah, they don't have someone like you that can hit that three at the top of the key to eliminate the Kings or create a sizable advantage in this series like you did in the early 2000s. But to your point about what do they need to do against Denver, there's so many things. But I think the main thing is learn how to win in crunch time.
Yes.
When you've seen these games where they've lost the past eight games with the playoff series, these three games this regular season, some of them have been competitive until playoff or until crunch time in the final 5 minutes. I think so much of the score has been a combined 53-25. What does that mean? Well, yes, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray have been money during that time, but I think it's shown that they've benefited from their continuity and their depth much more than the Lakers have. And while context matters as far as injuries, and they hadn't had their full starting lineup figured out yet at that point, they have to be able to adapt to the fact that the Nuggets are a well-oiled machine, and they know what to do when the clock ticks down in crunch time. So that will be the ultimate litmus test on whether the Lakers can somehow upset the Nuggets, if they can at least make the series competitive, or, heaven forbid, if the Nuggets wind up sweeping them again for the second consecutive season.
Mark, I got one more question for you. We're going to go to the East. Is it the Celtics, you know, championship on the East to lose? Can anyone really give them a run for their money?
Not in the Eastern Conference. It's the Celtics and everyone else. The Celtics have been a well-oiled machine, one of the best starting lineups. Jason Tatum, more efficient as a scorer, but a really good passer. Kristaps Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, great chemistry. You look at the rest of the East. The Knicks don't have Julius Randle. The Bucks have been an underachieving hot mess. And, yeah, there's some good other teams with Philadelphia, Cleveland, Orlando, but they just don't have the same caliber as Boston does.
Yeah, the mere presence of Doc Rivers on the bench eliminates Milwaukee completely. We all love Doc, but he's the only coach ever to blow 3-1 series lead three times. By the way, guess who just went to the locker room with an injury? Embiid.
Embiid. Oh,
and all of a sudden, the Knicks are up 10 with a minute to go in the first half. So that didn't take long. Embiid is in the locker room with some injury, undisclosed injury. And all of a sudden, the Knicks are running the Sixers right off the court. Mark, great stuff, man. We'll hope for some competitive series. I'm anxious. If the Lakers lose tonight, the series is going to be a short series. But if they can win game one, steal a game, maybe we'll get a series that we can talk about. That would be nice. Mark, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate your time.
Monte, Steve, you're the best. Love chatting hoop with you.
We'll do it.
Thanks,
there he
Mark.
Is, Mark Medina right there, our NBA insider here at Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's find out what is trending right now. Kevin Wired is back, and we got a lot of things on the scoreboard today, Kev.
Yeah, what has happened to the Philadelphia 76ers? They were out in front much of this first half, but now the New York Knicks ahead by double digits. 57-46 as they are approaching halftime at Madison Square Garden. Jalen Brunson, the only actually he's one of two players for the Knicks in double figures. He has 11 points. We also have Miles McBride, who has 16 points off of 5 of 7 shooting. So he's made a big difference coming off the bench for New York, who otherwise has struggled shooting the ball, but really where they've had the advantage, they've shot 10 more free throws than Philadelphia has. They've also taken a better care of the basketball, 6-3 turnover advantage for New York through the first half. Earlier today, the Timberwolves pull away to blow out the Phoenix Suns 120-95 to take a 1-game 10-0 series lead in that first round Western Conference matchup. Anthony Edwards, a big game, 33 points, was a little quiet in that first half, but really came on strong in the second 24 minutes. He also had 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Karl Anthony Towns, 19 points to go along with 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Rudy Gobert, a double-double. Kevin Durant seeming like he's doing most of the work by himself today, as he had 31 points for Phoenix, 7 rebounds as well, but no one else had more than 18. Devin Booker at 18. Bradley Beal had 15. And then off the bench, you had Royce O'Neal, who had 14 points. No one else in double figures for Phoenix, while the Timberwolves getting a much more balanced attack offensively. And the Cavaliers smother the Magic 97-83. Orlando just 32% shooting for the day. They were 8-37 from beyond the three-point arc. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, also had himself a 3 assists and 3 steals. Evan Mobley, 16 points, 11 rebounds, had himself a strong first half to help pace the Cavaliers to their 1-0 first-round series advantage. Coming up later tonight, 8:30 is the scheduled tip-off for the Lakers and Nuggets. LA looking for their first win against Denver in 490 days. And some news from Adrian Wojnarowski saying that it's increasingly in doubt that Kawhi Leonard will play for the LA Clippers tomorrow against the Mavericks. So it seems like same thing, different year for the Clip Show.
Well, and again, here's the problem, as we were just talking with Mark Medina. You're committed for the next 3 years to Kawhi.
Yeah.
Okay. You've extended his deal. Now, Paul George has a player option. We've seen enough of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, have we not, over several years now? The idea that you basically mortgage the entire future in terms of the draft in order to get the guy that Kawhi Leonard wanted, who was Paul George. And where are they? I know where they are. They're in Idle is where they are. It's the same every year.
It really is the same every year. It's very frustrating. I don't know.
And who's going to want to, who are, if not Paul George, if not James Harden, who else would you bring in? Who would want to hitch their wagon to Kawhi Leonard if he can't stay healthy?
No, it's a fair question.
I mean, that was the second big three they brought in, too. I mean, after the Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin team, and it seemed like Kawhi Leonard, looked like he was going to go to the Lakers that offseason, as I recall, and then at the last minute said, no, I'm going to the Clippers. Then he helped arrange for Paul George.
The reason he went to the Clippers is they gave him what he wanted.
Yeah,
he said, I want Paul George.
Yeah.
What, that way they give up 7 picks?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that came right after basically the disbandment of the prior big three. So the idea, at least for the Clippers, was we're going to keep this going, build off what we have. And they did get to a Western Conference Finals for the first time in their history. So I guess you can't say they didn't accomplish anything. But I know that there were a lot higher expectations for the Clippers when they did sign them and make that trade for Paul George. So and then, of course, when James Harden came this year, they thought, OK, that would be the final piece to put him over the top.
Well, I don't know who thought that. I mean, based on what? I mean, James Harden doesn't have any rings. Neither does Paul George.
I didn't think it. I'm saying that's what people were saying.
Well, I mean, they were hoping that was going to be the case.
I miss Lob City.
Well, that was, again, but here's the whole thing. When they replaced Vinny Del Negro with Doc Rivers, nothing. They were like this 50-win team. That was, they're a decent team, and then, I don't know. Just
Lob City. That was our prime.
But I agree with Mark when he says when you're moving into a new arena, you need a star to put butts in seats, and Kawhi is that. Kawhi is a great, great, great player.
He's the best player on the court when he wants to be. He's the best.
But
he did with Toronto, especially defensively, that was outstanding.
Okay, that
He's
was a long time ago.
Long time ago? What are you
that
saying?
That was 5 years ago.
That's not that long. Yeah.
In the world of sports, yes, that's the Stone Age. That was back in 2019. A long time ago. All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. By the way, one team that had a very quick exit from the playoffs was the Golden State Warriors. They got blown out by Sacramento. I felt terrible for Klay Thompson.
Right?
0 for 10, 0 points. In what could well be his last game. He made $43 million. Give the Warriors credit. They hung in there. He missed two full seasons, came back, helped them win that championship. His numbers were decent this year. He has value on the market, but he's an outright free agent. I know his father well, and he would love to see him in a Lakers uniform next year. but that was a tough way to go. But at certain points, as we talk about, you have to say, all right, are we going to stay with this? Do we still believe this team has what it takes to win a championship, or do you blow it up? At the same time, if you're the Warriors, you need Steph Curry.
Yeah, you can't let him go.
You can't let him go. And that's the same thing with the Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah. I mean,
and right now he's got a player option coming up.
LeBron is holding them hostage. Klay is one player I feel so bad for. Imagine being a player that was a top with him and Curry, when they were the Splash Brothers, right? Top five, for sure, top 10. Getting injured and never getting back to that. That has to be psychologically.
But he came back, even though he was not the same player, he won a championship
yes,
a couple of years ago.
But now, after another injury, he has not even sniffed what he was before.
No.
That's got to be psychologically really, really hard.
He's a role player now.
Yes.
He's still a guy that is a hired gun off the bench.
Yes.
And if I were the Lakers, I would do anything I could with his championship pedigree and still the ability. Because forget the 0 for 10 at the end of the year. He was shooting well over 40% threes, which is his norm, in the last quarter of the season. Remember, the Warriors finished strong. And then, unfortunately, laid an egg in that play-in game against Sacramento.
Yeah, I agree with you that he still has value. The Lakers, they could go for him. But the Lakers need like a point. They need a playmaker. They need somebody that can play off of LeBron a little bit, controlling the tempo. And Klay is not that. Klay, like you said, is going to be a role player. And that he can have a lot of success with that. Obviously, I'm not saying the Lakers shouldn't go for him. That would be a nice pickup for them. I think LeBron, though, is holding the Lakers hostage, and not just because of his player option coming up, but because of Bronny James.
Well, if they get swept in this series, if they continue their winless ways against the Nuggets, you got some serious soul searching to do.
LeBron's not going anywhere.
He's got a player option that's his option.
Where does he
want to go for? He wants to stay in L.A.
Wants to stay in L.A. That's why he's not going to go
L.A.
anywhere.
Works for him.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, on the other side, we're going to talk about a franchise. We got problems. Oh, we've got problems. In fact, a legendary sports franchise has made history of sorts. We'll tell you which one. This is Fox Sports Saturday.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Steve Harbin, Monty Bolaños here. Fox Sports Saturday. We're coming live from the TireRack.com studios. Want to thank our crew today. Kevin Wire was here.
Yeah.
Good to see Kevin. He had a lot to say today on very busy day in sports.
He had a lot to say about the Clippers.
Of course, Patrick is our brilliant producer. Patrick, very busy, very quick 2 hours today.
Very quick.
I mean, it just seemed like we just got started here.
Time flies when we're all having fun, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Say hi to your dad.
Of course, I'll let him know right now.
Always tell him that I'm... Mary Mack is just having the best time being 21. That's where this is at right now.
I love life. It's so beautiful.
She comes in, she says, I love life right now. I said, those are the best words anybody could say.
Seriously.
So
keep spreading that, girl.
Of course.
Keep spreading
I like that.
It.
And your new do is amazing.
The blonde. I think it's the blonde.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Feeling yourself.
It's fire.
It is.
No pun intended.
21 works, huh? I like that. Excellent. Well, Mary Mack, it's great to have you here as every single Saturday. All right. History made today of sorts by the team that spent $1.3 billion in new contracts during the offseason. That would be the Los Angeles Dodgers, a 9-game homestand that will conclude tomorrow. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres, 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, and they just lost again today, meaning at the best, they are going to lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets. Now, you had a stat the last time they had a 9-game series at home and did not win a single series at home.
Yeah, I said it to you on the break, and I, you know, had to double check because it's hard to believe it. They have not lost 3 series in a single homestand since 2005, Steve.
Yeah.
Since 2005.
And 2005, I can guarantee you the payroll isn't anywhere near.
No, not at all.
Well, I mean, even looking at today, the Dodgers are 12-11, 8-8 at home.
Yeah.
So they've had 16 of their first 23 games at home. So normally you would thought, you know, Betts is hitting .356. Otani's hitting .359.
Freddie came back to life today.
He has one home run in 23 games.
Yeah, but
his slugging percentage is .357. This is a guy who's in the mid-fives every single year. You look at his numbers since he came to the Dodgers after all those great years of the Braves. This guy's got a ticket punch to the Hall of Fame. Now, today showed some life, couple of walks, couple of hits, 3 runs batted in, but he's got to get that back going. The problem is the bottom of this lineup. Lux, awful. Outman, rookie sensation last year. He struck out 3 times today. So the Dodgers pitching looks mediocre at best.
It is a combination of problems right now for the Dodgers. It's not good. I know it's the beginning of the season, so you don't want to overreact and you don't want to get emotional, but it's difficult not to get like that, even though I know it's only April. In today's game, the Dodgers had 6 hits. 6 hits. 4 of those hits came from Betts, Otani, and Freeman. Everybody else, there was only 2 hits. 1 James Outman and 1 Gavin Lux, who was 1 for 5. It's almost like teams are coming up and they're realizing, all right, once we get past Betts, Otani, and Freeman, that's it. We're good.
All right. Here's a bigger problem to me. 8 pitchers today.
Yeah.
8 pitchers. We're in April.
Yeah.
You are burning through your bullpen at a feverish pace. I remember a year ago with the Padres, or 2 years ago with the Padres, when the Dodgers lost to the Padres in the postseason. And they went in. Bob Melvin came in as the new manager. And I never forget this, because his predecessor, Andy Green, was notorious for burning his bullpen out by the end of May. And so early in that year, Bob Melvin said, I don't care if we're down 4-0. You're giving me 6.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving me six. And if you go back to that playoff series when the Padres upset the Dodgers, it was the Padres bullpen that was lights out. You can't burn through your bullpen. I mean, they were trying anything to win today's game. I get it. But you can't do this every day. You need to get innings out of your starters. And, you know, Walker Buehler had another rehab start, and then they said he needs another one.
Yeah.
I'm like, how many more rehab starts are we going to get before Walker Buehler gets back into the rotation? So they need to get their rotation healthy, and they need to get innings out of your starters.
I don't disagree with you, Steve, but you know what? This isn't just the Dodgers. I just feel like in general, baseball right now is doing this with their pitchers. It sucks to see it. The Mets used six pitchers today. I agree. I am with you 100% on this. It just seems that that is the direction that baseball is going. Coddling the arm, keeping it minimal so that I don't know why. I don't know why, Steve, but this seems to be the new trend. And I hate it. I don't like it.
It only makes sense. And I've said this for ever since this changed, this whole idea of, you know, getting five innings out of your starter and then bringing in a sixth inning guy, a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, ninth inning guy. What are the chances all five of them are going to have a good day?
Yeah.
How many times have we seen four of the five have a good day, one guy has a bad outing and lose the game? And the stats do not. You go back in the days when pitchers were actually throwing complete games, and if you look at their collective ninth inning ERA, when guys are throwing complete games, it was lower than it is now when you have the so-called one-inning specialists closing out these games. It doesn't make sense on the analytics. I don't get it. Where the idea that you just have these guys throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, and then what do you get? Tommy John surgeries all over the place.
Yeah, now it's common to have two.
Two.
Now it's like,
they keep falling. We've had pitchers falling all over the place.
Left and right.
Gee, why? Because they're throwing 100 miles an hour, or trying to,
yeah,
on every pitch.
There's so many factors, really, that go into this pitching phenomenon that is happening right now. But it takes away from the game when there is eight pitchers in one and you're just using them for half of an inning. It takes away the excitement for me.
When is your next touring of Dodger Stadium?
We tour every day.
Every day?
Every single day.
Really?
Unless, you know, Billy Joel comes and has a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's the only time we don't, when there's like a concert. And it's just because we're in the way for them. So
I'm going to have to do that tour with you. I won't even say the word.
No, I won't let you.
Keep it here. Much more coming up. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.